image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, this morning's message, Pastor Richard titled it, "And to dust you shall return, being renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ, our Creator." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. Happy birthday. And good morning. It is indeed a good morning because God has created us, and he has created us in his image. But not only did he create us in his image, he created us from the dust of the earth. God created everything that he created in the first 5 days, 5.5 days, just by speaking, and it existed. That's how it tells us it happened. He spoke, something came into being. And then it says, and it was so. It happened as he spoke. But now in the sixth day, at the end of his creation process, in 6 days, he creates man. But how does he create man? He doesn't just simply speak. He makes us from the dust of the earth. The very earth that he has just created. So even though we are to be exalted as those made in his image, we are also to be humbled as those who are made from the dust on the earth. So what does it mean to be made in his image? And what does it mean that this image has been polluted by sin? Is there any hope for us to be with a holy, righteous God when his image in us has been polluted? But there is hope, and we're going to see now as we look at what the Word of God has to say, not just in Genesis 1, but in other places about being created and perhaps being created again. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, you made us originally. You made Adam and Eve, the first human beings. You made them from the dust of the earth. Father, you put them together, our bodies that we know, that we have, all the cells in our heart and our brain and our feet and our hands and all the rest of our body, we know from your word is composed of dust. Father, we are simply like clay, almost. You put a spirit in us. You gave us a soul as you made us in your image, Father. But the body, the components, everything that is physical in our bodies is simply dust, Father. And as you say in your word, to dust we shall return. That is the curse of sin. Father. We shall return to the dust physically, Father. But even when our bodies return to dust, our spirit, our soul lives on, Father. And because of the sin of Adam and the sin of Eve as well, we are born in sin, and we all sin just like they did, Father. And the punishment for that is eternal hell. So, Father, as we look in your word today, please give us hope as we look at your word and your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1, 24 and 25 said, and God said, so he spoke, he's speaking again on the sixth day now. He says, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. So there was many different kinds of living creatures that he was speaking into existence. Livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And then the word says it again. And it was so. So it happened just as he said. Immediately, it was so. As he spoke, there were these animals on the earth. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind. So there was many different species. There was many different types of animals. And the livestock according to their kinds. Once again, many different kinds. And everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. So different types of animals and bugs that crept along the ground. And God saw that it was good. So it was good. There was no sin. There was no death in this universe. He finished the creation of all, everything except for man. And there was no sin or death. Point number one. God spoke, and there were many different kinds of living creatures on the land. And it was immediately so. He created many different kinds of beasts of the earth and many different kinds of livestock. There was everything that creeps on the ground. Many different kinds. And all of it was good. Meaning there was no sin or death before Adam's sin. No sin or death. Because man had not yet been created, and sin and death came through man. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, he spoke, but this time he's talking to the persons in the Trinity. God the Father is speaking to Christ. Christ to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to the Father. They're talking. They're talking with each other about what they're about to do, because something very important is about to happen. So God spoke. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So, here it repeats the same idea twice. It says, let us make man in our image. And then likeness here could also be translated image. So, let us make man in our image, after our image. And let them meaning man, in this case to start, Adam and Eve, but all man and woman, let them have dominion or rulership or power or authority. That's what dominion means. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So everything that God created, not the sun, the moon, and the stars, but the animals and fish and livestock and creeping things, everything that God created on the earth, man is to have authority over them and all the earth. Point number two. On this last day, the sixth day of God's creation, God spoke and said to himself within the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Trinity, that they would make Adam and Eve in their image. They would make them in their likeness. Humanity would be made especially in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, because you see, Jesus would become a man, and as a man, he represents perfect humanity. He is both God and man, a perfect, righteous, holy man, just as Adam was intended to be forever. Just as God has authority over all creation, so Adam and Eve would have authority over all living things. Even though our sin pollutes the image of Christ in us now, we all still reflect the image of God that he created us with. We are image bearers. We bear the image of God, even though it's polluted by sin now. But in the beginning, there was no pollution. Adam and Eve were perfect, the way God intended them to be. Genesis 2:7 talks about another aspect of how we were created. Then the Lord God formed the man, this was Adam, of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Point number three. How did Christ create humanity? He formed man from the dust of the ground. Jesus breathed into Adam's body his own breath, and Adam started to live. Out of everything that was created, Adam was the first being that was created from something else that was already created. Although we are made in the image of God, we are also nothing but dust. In all creation, Adam was the most exalted creation of Christ as an image bearer of God, and he was also the most humble and lowly creation because he was nothing but dust. So Genesis 5:1-5, let's take a brief look at the summary of Adam's life. It says in Genesis 5:1-5, This is the book of the generations of Adam. Genesis itself is that book. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. That's how God created man, as we said. Male and female, he created them, Adam and Eve, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Then we have a summary of Adam's whole life. When Adam had lived 130 years, so he lived much longer than we do, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. So Adam was made in the image of God, and Adam's son Seth was also after his image. Similarly, when we have children are in our image in a sense, just as we are in the image of God, our Creator. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. He lived a long time. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. It gives us the exact specifics from the time that Adam was created on the sixth day of creation to the time he died 930 years later. This is not necessarily for us to add up all the years in the genealogies to have an exact number of how long the earth has existed, but it is to indicate that there were specific people who lived specific lifespans, and that if you accept, as the scripture teaches, that the earth and the universe were created in six 24-hour days, then we know that on the sixth day Adam was created, and 930 years later, he died. Point number four. How long was it from the time that God created Adam on the sixth day until Adam died? When God created Adam on the sixth day of creation, he made him in the likeness of Christ. Because Adam was without sin originally, he could not die. But Adam fell into sin, and because of this, there were consequences. He died at the age of 930 years, as we all will die unless Christ comes back first. Why did he have to die? Because of sin. Romans 5:12 through 14 tells us, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death came after sin, after Adam's sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, we all sin in Adam. He was our representative. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. We'll move past that. We've talked about that before. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, meaning it started death with Adam and reigned through Moses and beyond, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. He was a type of Christ, meaning he was a representative of the human race, and when he sinned for all of us, and we would be born in sin, and eventually all of us, after we're born, we will sin. We do sin. All of us have sin. Point number five. Death came into the world after Adam sinned. The Spirit here in God's Word tells us that there was no death at all during the first 6 days of God's creation. When Adam sinned, death entered the world for the first time through his sin. Fittingly, the Word of God records for us that Adam was the first man to die at the age of 930 years. It doesn't say anything about Eve, but we can assume that he was the first man to die at 930 years because that is the first one recorded in Genesis 5. Genesis 3:19, we see the curse that God put on Adam and Eve that they would die. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, out of the dust Adam was created. For you are dust, God is saying to him, and to dust you shall return. You shall die, and your body shall return to the dust. Point number six. After Adam sinned, God cursed him and the rest of all humanity as punishment for his sin. We all will die unless Christ returns first and judges the world. We have all died spiritually because of Adam's sin. The dust that we are created from will be the dust that we will return to. Although our bodies will indeed return to the dust, we are still made in the image of God and thus have eternal souls which deserve eternal punishment for our many sins in hell. Psalm 103, though, gives us hope even though we are dying and will die. Psalm 103:13-19 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For because he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. He remembers that he made us from dust and that we are dust. It goes on, as for man, his days are like grass, meaning they're short. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For a time, we might flourish. For the wind passes over it, meaning over us, and it is gone. Our life is gone like the wind passing by. And its place knows it no more. We're forgotten. After a while, all of us are forgotten. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. God never forgets us. His love is forever and ever. If we fear him, it says, and his righteousness to children's children, it lasts over and over again through the generations, his righteousness. To those who keep his covenant, there's a covenant mentioned here, and remember to do his commandments, we have to obey his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So we cannot keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments while our hearts are polluted by sin. There has to be something for us that aids us or helps us or changes us so that we can be part of this everlasting to everlasting love, this covenant that God has for us. Point number 7. Yet God has great compassion on us if we will fear him. He knows how he formed us, that we are dust. Our days are like grass that pass away quickly. For a time, we flourish like the flower of the field, but the wind comes quickly and takes us away like the dust that we are. We are known no more. However, God has a steadfast love for those who trust in his Son Jesus that lasts from everlasting to everlasting. This love lasts forever to those who trust in his covenant and keep his commandments. Christ and his kingdom rule over everything forever. So you might remember that last week we talked about the new covenant, a covenant that God makes with his people where he himself keeps his promise to them, even though they have broken their promise to him. This was made with Israel, and it has been extended to us. And through that new covenant, he causes obedience in us. He brings us to faithfulness to him through the work of his Spirit in our hearts. He changes us and makes us like Christ. He sees the pollution of our sin in our hearts, and he creates us again through a new birth into Christ's image again. Not instantly, but over time, he recreates us to be more and more like Jesus until again we have the perfect image of God in heaven forevermore. So, how can we be part of God's new covenant and remember to do his commandments? The gospel. It's the gospel. Jesus came. He knew how polluted our hearts were with sin, that we had broken his law, and that there was no hope of our redemption without a Savior. So Jesus became a man and lived a perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life. He was able to do that because he himself is God, the second member of the Trinity. And when we trust in what he has done in his perfect life, we receive his righteousness as our own. And then our punishment needed to be taken care of. So he went to the cross, and on the cross he took the punishment of eternal hell on the cross in our place if we would trust him for it. If we would just believe in him, he satisfied the wrath of God that we deserve on the cross, and he died finally, physically, so as to totally take our punishment. Our sin was imputed or credited to him so that he could take the punishment, and his righteousness was imputed to us or credited to us through faith in him so that we could be both righteous before God and our punishment could be taken by Christ. But then Jesus Christ rose from the dead physically, and we, through faith, are united with him, brought together with him in his resurrection. And that is how, from our sinful pollution in our bodies and spirits, we are created again into Christ's image again, with no more pollution of sin over time, until one day we were physically resurrected after death and will receive the perfect image of God, the perfect image of Christ again, to have forever and ever with no pollution of sin. All this through faith, through trust in Jesus, to restore us to the perfect image of God that we were always intended to have. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Point number 8. This verse gives great emphasis to the reality that God created us. 3 times it tells us that God created man. Twice more after the previous verses, it tells us that he created us in his image. Once, it tells us that he created us male and female with different roles as human beings. Out of all creation that God created in 6 days, we were his final creations made in his image. As with all creation, we only exist to serve his glory. And we can reflect his glory more than any of his other creations, because we are made in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And because we are created by God, we belong to him. Because all human beings belong to God, they must submit to his total authority over their lives as their creator. How do we submit to him? By turning away from our sin in Christ. Ephesians 4:19 through 22. They, meaning humanity, have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, Paul is saying. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So you're hearing about the truth, you're being taught about the truth, you're learning Christ, you're learning about him. And then the scripture says that we're putting off our old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. This is the pollution of sin, because Adam sinned and we are polluted in our hearts as well through his sin. Point number 9. After Christ created us in his image, Adam brought sin and death into the world. This resulted in all of us falling into terrible rebellion against God. The image of God in us is polluted by sin. We are born into the world to practice, not rightfully, but to practice sensuality, greed, impurity. Our hearts are corrupt, and we are deceivers with evil desires. You see, the truth is in Jesus, but we are deceivers. We are deceiving. We don't love the truth. We love lies and deception. But those who come to hear about Christ in the message of the gospel and believe the truth about Jesus are able to learn his ways through the work of the Spirit, putting off our old self. So what happens when we learn his ways? In the following verses, 23 and 24, it tells us. And we will be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Renewed how? To put on the new self, here we see, created. God is creating us again. Creating us after the image or likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's creating us all over again, recreating us, so that we might once again bear the true image of God in righteousness and holiness. Point number 10. From the beginning of creation, God had created Adam and Eve to perfectly show his image in the world. But because of our fall into sin through Adam, God must now renew the spirit of our minds through the work of the Holy Spirit and help us to put on a new self, created all over again after the likeness of Christ, in his image of true righteousness and holiness. We are recreated again in Christ's likeness through faith in him and what he has done in his life, death, and resurrection. We want this. We want to be recreated. The pollution of sin does nothing but wreak havoc on our lives. We want to seek this new self through the work of the Spirit so that we might walk away from our sin and grow to be more and more in the image of Christ, in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3, 5 through 9 gives us a similar idea. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So the wrath is coming to punish those who live like this. In these two, you once walked, talking to Christians who trust in Jesus, when you were living in them. You once lived there. But now you must put them all away. And he tells us some of the things we are to put away. Anger, unrighteous anger, certainly. Wrath, malice, slander. We're not to slander others. We're not to speak badly about them in front of others. And obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. We're not to tell lies, even small lies. We're not to even have a little bit of deceit in the way we speak. We're to tell the whole truth to one another, honestly, openly. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Point number 11. through the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, which creates us again in the likeness of Christ in true righteousness, we must put to death the pollution of sin in our bodies and souls that comes because of Adam's sin. The wrath of God is coming because of these sins, and we must learn the ways of Christ through repentance and faith in him, or we will face this wrath in hell. But now we can put away all these sinful practices because of our faith, which is God's gift to us. Colossians 3 concludes this section. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed, as the other verse said, in knowledge, meaning we know more about Christ. We know from who he is, from his word. We love his word and accept his knowledge. And that's how we are renewed. After the image, the likeness or image of its creator, that creator being Jesus Christ. We are renewed in knowledge after God's image, Christ's image. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So why does Paul say that? Because as image bearers of God, because we are all made in his image, there is no division among us because we are all made to be in the image of Christ. So Christ is all for all of us. Christ is everything because we are in his image. And Christ is in all, meaning all the other people in our church or other real Christians who really love Jesus. Christ is everything to all of us, and we see the image of Christ in each other. So that leads to love for everyone who bears the image of Christ. Point number 12. In Christ, if we come to have a deeper knowledge of him in our hearts, the Holy Spirit is renewing Christ's image in us so that we will once again reflect God's glory like we were originally intended to do. As the church reflects the image of our Creator, Jesus Christ, our love and fellowship bring us together no matter our age, nationality, former religious status, culture, economic status, or any other division that we have. Christ is everything to all of us in every way. He is all. He is our first and only priority in our lives, and he lives through his Spirit in all of us and is making us more and more into his image again. Application. 2 points of application. Point number one. You'll find it on the opposite side of your sheet, the first one. Although Christ gives us different roles in different relationships, we do learn that from his word, husband, wife, master, slave, parent, child. There are different roles. We are all made in the image of God. As a church, let us see the image of Christ in every person who walks through our doors to worship with us, and welcome them into our church as fellow image bearers of God. Whether that person is someone who professes to follow Christ or someone who says that they do not know him, reach out in love and invite them warmly to join us in our worship of our King. No matter who they are or what they're like, the Bible teaches us in Genesis that we are all made in the image of God. Every one of us, every person who walks through our door is an image bearer of God. And if they are a Christian, they're being restored completely to that image. And if they're not, then we want them to be restored to that image. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14, a bit of review. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who believes in Jesus truly in their heart will be saved. Paul asks, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they don't believe, they can't call on him. They won't be saved. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? If they've never heard of Jesus, then they won't be saved. If they've never heard his gospel, is what Paul is talking about. It says later, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, by the gospel. So if they aren't hearing his gospel, they can't be saved. And it says, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? Here the idea of preaching is simply someone hearing the message of the gospel, whether it be in our service, or if we go out, or if in our Sunday school, or in our small groups. There's people who need to hear, not just hear about Christianity in general, or hear that they need to come to church, but hear the word of Christ, as it says in verse 17 of this text. They need to hear the gospel. Point number two, application point number two. No one can escape the wrath of God and be restored from the pollution of sin and created again into the image of Christ without calling on Jesus and believing in him. How can anyone believe in Jesus for the first time or continue to believe in Jesus if they are not hearing the gospel regularly preached? They won't believe unless they hear. Because every man or woman created by God bears the image of God because they bear that image. We are to love them by offering them the gospel. We have the gospel here at our church. Right here, we have it. It's in the preaching every week. It's in our hearts. We know it. It's in our fellowship. It's in every program we have, whether it be small group or Sunday school. We have the Word of God, which has the gospel. So we have the gospel here at our church. So we have everything that they, the image bearer of God, truly need right here at Berkeley Crossroads. Everything. So let's welcome them and make sure they hear the gospel, whether that be for the first time or the 100th time, so that they can live as a Christian. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, what an amazing teaching that we are dust. Father, we are to be very humble before you, Father. You are the exact opposite of dust. You are exalted and high and powerful in every way, Father. But we are also made in the image of God. We are made in your image. Father, we are made in the image of your Son, Jesus. And I pray that all of us here in this church would continue to be restored, recreated, created again into your image every day, Father, as we seek the knowledge of who you are in your word, Father, so that we might be restored into your image, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.